All right. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, guys. My name is Adam. I'm a member and an elder candidate here at Restored. Andy's up in Temecula today, but he and Royce asked me to share this message with you guys today. So real quick, since I'm up here, I figured I'd give a chance to do a quick hair check on my son, Avery. His hair is growing crazy long every day. The other thing, too, is he's been really good at, like, gripping things. So he's kind of like an Asian, like, Samson situation going on over here. Yeah, anyways. Okay. So today, I wanted to encourage you guys what it looks like when we experience storms in our lives. And I'm going to be using storms as a metaphor today. And storms are just, they're times of pain, a time of hardship that we don't understand. And right now, God's really been speaking to Trang, my wife, and I, even specifically in this last week, just some events that have happened that for both of us have really, God's really called us to trust in him as we're at a place of real uncertainty about the future, really uncertainty about where our finances are going to come from, uncertainty about the future of Trang's grad school program, if she's going to continue, and really just uncertainty about how to provide for our son. But in the midst of that, I really do feel like God's asked us to step out in faith, to really step out onto the water. It's a quick little spoiler for the passage today. And into his arms, to truly lean into him for everything. And I know that some of you guys might be going through storms in your own life right now. It could be faced with the loss of a loved one. It could be going through a season of health issues. Or it might be experiencing the uncertainty of the well-being of your child or baby. Or it might be that you're afraid of the uncertainty of whether or not you'll find a future spouse or even have a family of your own. Guys, I want to remind you that God sees where you're at. He knows and sees those storms in your life. And he wants you to walk in faith towards him. So let's open up in prayer real quickly. God, we praise you for your unending love and pursuit of us. I thank you for never leaving us, for never giving up on us, for always seeking our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit really does move in our hearts today. And I pray that in the midst of the storms that we're going through, that we turn to you in worship. It's your name we pray. Amen. So today, we're going to continue our series in John, our Revealed series. Andy last week brought us through the beginning of chapter 6. So we see Jesus. He draws a huge crowd of people to hear him speak. So it's just a huge outdoor festival all focused on Jesus. So kind of like imagine an ancient Coachella, but instead of like hologram Tupac and like all the sketchy random stuff, you swap that out with just like a bunch of sandals and robes. And at the end of the passage, we see Jesus performing a miracle and feeding this multitude of people with just one small kid's meal. So now we'll catch up with Jesus and his disciples as they're out on a boat attempting to cross the Tiberias Sea. So we'll start in John chapter 6. It's verse 16. It said, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. Terrified. Understatement of the year. It's scary. So this happens between 3 and 6 in the morning. And at this point, they've been out in this crazy storm for like 10 to 12 hours, straining at the oars. And real quick, so this is a gnarly storm. Like, they think they're going to die in this. And if you're like me, I grew up in the church, and I heard this story hundreds of times. And honestly, like, even up until preparing for this sermon, that I actually kind of still pictured it as, like, just like a little splash on the side of the boat. I never actually, like, pictured it as this is a violent storm, and they literally are going to die in this. So this is a crazy, crazy storm, you guys. So it's pitch black, and these experienced fishermen are exhausted, and all of a sudden, one of them looks up, and he sees something. Nah, it's just the wind. It's nothing. But as he gets closer, they get scared, because here's the thing. They haven't read this story before. They see a man walking on water at 3 in the morning. This is like a bad horror film, you guys. Like, this is kind of like Jason on water. Like Friday the 13th, like ancient Israel edition. Sorry, that didn't land very well. Thanks, guy. So it's clear. He's a person, and he's riding with the waves, and he's moving with the water. And he's walking towards them, and they're freaking out. Their hearts are pounding. Their stomachs clench, and they start to scream. Because no one's ever seen a person walk on water. The only thing they think is it's got to be a ghost. Jesus steps in right away and doesn't let it linger like a cruel joke. He doesn't go, boo. He's yelling, it's okay, it's me, it's Jesus. So let's look at an alternative account of the same story that has a little bit more detail. So we'll jump to Matthew chapter 14. It's verse 22. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take heart, it's me. But then something kind of weird happens. And continuing to verse 28. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Peter's pretty bold. He steps to the forefront here as a leader. He's kind of like, hey, how do we really know this is Jesus? Like, what if this is a ghost trying to trap us? Like, we need to make sure this is Jesus and not a ghost. If it's really you, then have me walk out onto the water to you. So I would have come up with maybe a different test. Yeah, maybe something like, bro, what's your mother's maiden name? Or like, what's the last four digits of your social security number? Maybe, like, what's the first movie we saw together? But Peter says the first thing that comes to mind. You can do anything. So if it's you, have me walk out onto the water and not sink. And Jesus loves this. He doesn't see this kind of faith very often. He's like, yeah, come out here. The water's great. So let's continue in verse 29. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Okay, so now picture this. It's during a storm, so the boat is moving violently back and forth in this storm. And it's hard to get out of the boat because it's so unsteady. Walking on water, it feels good initially. In Greek here, it says he's having a rad time. No, anyways. But seriously, he'll never forget this moment. He's going to be telling this story for the rest of his life. He's walking on water, and his bros are like, this is insane. But then Peter realizes, this is crazy. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he looks around, begins to lose faith, lose heart. what I'm doing right now isn't possible. And he begins to sink. If we continue to verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So he starts panicking. He's out in the water without a life jacket during this intensely scary storm. He thinks he's going to drown. He thinks he's going to die. And if we move on to verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why were you afraid? Then both of them, they get into the boat. And in verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Another miracle. The storm stops in an instant. So the disciples have seen him do miracles before, like healing someone. But watching someone walk on water in a storm, when you think you're going to die, and then having a power over the elements to make the storm stop, that takes the cake. They have a new experience of Jesus. Then what happens? In verse 33, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Like a few weeks ago when Annie taught on worship, remember, he said that worship is responding to God. They respond to what just happened, and they began to worship him. You're amazing. You're glorious. Now let's jump back to John. We'll go back to John chapter 6, and then we'll be in verse 21. Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land at which they were going. So another miracle, the storm stops. They're worshiping, and they get transported instantly to the other side of the sea. And don't forget this story in the context of John. John is proving that Jesus is the Son of God from chapter 1 on. So throughout the gospel, he's giving out evidence as to why we can believe Jesus is God. In chapter 2, he turns water into wine. In chapter 4, he heals the official's son from miles away. In chapter 5, he heals a paralytic. And then in chapter 6, earlier, we see him using a kid's meal to feed thousands of people. And today, he calms a storm and walks on water. So today, I want to talk about who Jesus is, just like John does throughout the book. But I also want to talk about how we walk with Jesus and how we worship him through the storms of life. So I have 3 points about storms today. And the first is storms happen. As followers of Jesus, we should expect storms to come our way. We're all going to go through storms of life. Painful, confusing, scary times. We wonder where God is. One of the things we learn in this story is that life has storms. It's part of life. I think as disciples of Jesus, it's really easy for us to falsely believe that because we're God's children, we won't experience storms. The last night Jesus is with his men, he says this. I'm jumping to John chapter 16, verse 33, which it should be up on the screen here in a second. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have what? Tribulation, trouble. I promise you, you can count on it. In this world you will have trouble. I'm Jesus. I know everything, and I'm telling you, in this world, you will have trouble. Yet when it hits us, we're always surprised. Like, if you were to ask me, do you think one day you're going to go through a massive hardship? I would tell you, yeah, I mean, sure, definitely. But I never think it's going to be today. And when it hits, I'm always surprised. And Scripture talks about this. Quickly, we'll jump to James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." In a storm, that's what happens, right? Your faith gets tested. You find yourself saying things like, "God, where are you? Do you even care about me? Or what are you doing?" And if we continue in James to verse 4, it says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." As our faith is tested, it develops perseverance. And as we push through, we become perfect like Jesus, mature, not lacking anything. So God sends storms into our lives to grow us, to transform us. And quickly, we'll jump to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." But we're always surprised. We think something is wrong with our life. Like something strange is happening. So many of us get bitter. Like Jesus ripped us off. But he was upfront about suffering. People leave their faith and say God let them down. And while I can empathize with their pain, Jesus did not let them down. He isn't letting us down or changing the terms. He doesn't say, if you are obedient, your life will be easy. Not once. One of the interesting things about this story isn't just that they went into the storm, but it's how they got end up in the storm. And who sends them into the storm? In this story, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he's the one who forces them to get into the boat and go ahead while he goes up to pray. They wanted to stay after the bread miracle because his fame is at an all-time high. They want to ride that high, and they want to start an Instagram account. They want to start planning ministry events and charging speaking fees. But Jesus has none of that, and he sends them away. The disciples want to stay, and he forces them to go. And he sends them into this storm that rages for hours. Do you wonder if at any moment they thought to themselves, "Hey, wait a minute. We're here because he wants us here. It wasn't our idea to come out here. It was his idea to come out here. We could use some help right now. Where is he? Oh, he's on the shore where we wanted to be." So here's what I want you guys to see. Sometimes Jesus doesn't just allow storms. Sometimes the trouble we experience is because of people's sin or the enemy's harassment. In this dark world, there will be trouble. But on top of that, as disciples of Jesus, there are times when he will actually send us into the storms because there's some growth and change that can only happen in these storms. So point number one, storms happen. And now point number two, storms always require a step. Whenever you're in a storm, sooner or later, it will require a step of obedience, a step of risk, a step of faith or surrender. Think of some of the storms that God sends his people into in the Bible and the steps that were required. Whose idea was it to go into one of the superpowers of the ancient world at 80 years old and tell the most powerful man and the most powerful nation, "You need to let the slaves go"? God sends Moses into a storm, And remember, Moses didn't want the assignment. Moses was kind of like, I'm not a good talker. I'm a shepherd. I take care of sheep. I'm not a revolutionary. Okay, get someone else. But God responds, no, I want you to leave your career and step out. And whose idea was it to send the prophet Samuel to a young shepherd boy named David and let him know he's going to be the king, the next king? And the step is that David needs to defeat Goliath, which leads to a great victory. But that victory also leads to 13 years of storm in his life where he's being chased by a paranoid king who wants to kill him. And fast forward now to the Old Testament, and you have the first disciples. And they're going to go out and start a movement that's going to change the world one day. But they step into a world of persecution. In the midst of a storm, it always requires a step. In this story, Peter is the one who takes the step on the water during the storm. And by the way, it's a step that Jesus called him to. We don't want to take crazy steps that God is not clearly calling us to and create our own storms. That's foolish. But when Jesus calls us out, come to Peter, he steps out and his life is never the same. Like, seriously, can you imagine how many times Peter probably told that story? Like, if he had a podcast, it would probably be called Walking on Water with the Apostle Peter. Ancient podcast joke there. Peter becomes the lead pastor of the early church in Jerusalem and an apostle that faced many persecutions. And how many times during those persecutions do you think he thought again and again on this story? Reminding himself that no matter how scary the storms would get, that he just needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. And I know as much as we hate on Peter and we laugh at him for the times he fails throughout the Gospels, and even as we read this story, it's kind of like Peter's the guy who sinks like a rock. You can see his failure, but you can also see his success, which is his faith. Because he's the only one of the 12 who has the faith to step out that day. 11 guys stay in the boat, but Peter steps out. And Peter has a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Whenever storms come, there's always a step for us. It might be a step of obedience, a step of risk, a step of surrender, a step of faith, a step of worship. Just like Jesus calls Peter to take a step to meet him in the middle of a storm, Jesus calls us to take steps towards him in the midst of the storms that are happening in our lives. And what does that look like to get out of the boat in the midst of a storm and take that step? It looks like a guy who has a job and totally hates it. But it's secure. Secure paychecks and benefits. But God comes to him clearly, not just on his own, but through a series of events. God is clearly calling to trust me and to step out into a new career. It's really scary. But at the same time, Jesus is out on the water, and that's his step to trust him and to go into a new career, a new training, a new direction, a new route. For someone else, it's a troubled marriage where you're going through a world of hurt. It's a storm and everything around you wants to bolt and run away. And Jesus says, no, get out onto the water. Come to me. I want you to take that step of getting some counseling, admitting you need help, confessing to members of the church, and committing yourself to making this marriage work. For someone else, they're in a bad relationship. They've been dating this guy or girl for a year or two, and they aren't a believer. And the Holy Spirit has made this clear. And people in your community are concerned, and you think to yourself, if I give up this guy, I'll never find another one like him. So there's this storm of confusion. And Jesus is saying, trust me in this. Get out of the boat. You need to get out of this relationship. And it's one of the scariest steps you'll ever take. because you don't know if anyone else is going to come along. But if you stay with him, either your relationship with him or with Jesus is going to take a hit. So it's clear you can't do both. For someone else, it's a guy who's been dating the same girl for 5 years, and everyone can't figure out why they aren't married. They seem right for each other, and Jesus is calling him to step out of the boat and propose, but he's so afraid. There's something in him that fears that commitment level, so he never pulls the trigger, and getting out of the boat for him is getting on his knees and proposing. Or it could be a woman working in a corporate environment, and her boss is doing illegal, sketchy things and trying to involve her. And she knows that if she goes through, she'll be compromising her relationship with Jesus. At the same time, if she stands up, she may very well lose her job in a volatile market. And she's being called out of the boat. Whenever you're in a storm, there's always a step. It might be to share the gospel with your friends. It might be to start honoring God with your finances by giving sacrificially and proportionally of your income. For some of you here, it could be to give your life to Jesus for the first time and ask him to save you and make him the king of your heart, that you'll follow him from this day forward. But whenever there's a storm, there's a step to take. For many, it's surrendering control. Walking away from your plans. By 25, I'll be a big deal and I'll be seen as this incredible person. By 30, I'll be accomplished and prestigious in my career. By 35, I'll have my dream home and the perfect family and live the American dream. We all have this picture of what we want our life to look like. And all of a sudden, a storm comes in and blows it away. We lose a child. A spouse walks out on us. We have a miscarriage. Our business no longer is profitable. We're betrayed by someone close to us. We're 40 and we're still single. We have a health crisis that changes our life. A storm comes in and that old picture is gone. It will never go back. It can't go back. There is no do-over. You can never go back and undo whatever it is that happened. Your life has not worked out the way you thought it would. It's a storm right now, and God comes to you in the midst of it and says, "Will you trust me with your life? Will you accept my plan for your life, even if it's not your plan? Will you surrender your vision? Or will you surrender to my vision for your life?" Guys, this is one of the biggest steps we'll ever take. How we respond to the storms and the steps we take often will define the lives, the kind of lives we lived. So my second point was that every storm has a step. And my last point, that storms often lead to worship. Now, they don't always lead to worship because we don't always respond to them like we should, but they often do lead to worship. Of course, this is what happens with the men that night. They're in the boat, their lives are at stake, and they're about to go down, but Jesus rescues them. He walks on water and gets them to the shore. And their immediate response was worship. They fall down to their knees, and they're spontaneously worshiping. And this is how worship is. Worship's not an obligation. It's not a duty you muster up. Worship is a natural response to experiencing God's work in our lives. Like when you experience God's presence and brilliance, the natural response is worship. Like if we have a worship problem, we have an experience problem. We don't need to grow in worship, but we need to grow in our experience of an understanding of what Jesus has done for us in the gospel and is still doing in us by his Holy Spirit. They'd seen him feed 5,000 earlier that day, and they had seen him heal plenty of people before. They'd watched him turn water to wine. They watched him heal that paralyzed guy for 38 years. But those things were external to them. Those were other people's problems. The official's son who was healed, that's great, but that's not my kid. Turning water to wine, that's great, but that's not my wedding. Those are really rad, amazing things that Jesus did, but they weren't life and or death matters to these guys. But this is their life. This is their boat going down, and this is their life flashing before their eyes. But to see Jesus walk on the water in the middle of their storm, it changes them. When Jesus meets us in the middle of a storm, we don't forget that. When God meets us in the midst of the storm, he has our full attention. Have you guys noticed how your prayer life increases in the midst of a storm? Like, all of a sudden you have time to pray. During the good times, maybe not so much. But when life is scary, tough, and painful, that's when prayer becomes more of a priority to us. So in storms, Jesus often has our attention. We're locked on him because of what he can teach, because he can teach us things in a storm that he can't teach us any other time. And he reveals himself and his power and his brilliance. We're changed. Our relationship with him will change. And when we come out of the storm, we're not the same person if we took the hard step. And this leads to a lifestyle of worship. So in closing, for some of us, we're in a blue sky season. But for many of us, they're storms. And I don't know what your storm is today, but I want you to know that Jesus is the Lord of the storms. He's not overwhelmed by your storm. In fact, he's treading on the water moving toward you today. So I'm going to call the band up. And I'm also going to ask prayer counselors to come up to the side. And as we close, there's a couple questions I'd like you to think about. Is there a step he's calling you to take today? Is it a step of faith? A step of risk? A step of surrender, a step to trust him for your future, even if it isn't what you dreamed. What is that step? And for some of us here, you're not yet a disciple of Jesus. You aren't a follower yet. Or maybe you've grown up in the church like me your whole life, but you never understood what it meant to truly walk with Jesus. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've come with a friend a bunch of times. But you've never really decided to give your life, all of your life, to Jesus. You've never asked him to forgive you. You've never asked him to take control of your life. You've never asked him to save you from your sins, save you from hell, to save you from judgment, to save you from yourself because you are the most dangerous person to yourself. You've never asked him to forgive you, to change you, to fill you with his spirit. You've never given your life to Jesus. And man, it's scary. It's a scary step. But you sense him calling you out onto the water, calling you to give your life to him. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to believe in Jesus for the first time. Please come and get me. Please get out of the boat and leave your past behind and get onto the water and move towards Jesus. Even though it's scary and you don't know what your future holds, because you know who holds it. If you're interested in that, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you about following Jesus for the first time. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for being the Lord of our storms. That sometimes you allow storms to come. Sometimes you cause the storms, but you always promise to meet us in the storm. I pray that we be obedient and faithful to you to take those steps out onto the water that you're calling us to make. I pray that your Holy Spirit would show us those steps we need to take, whether it's a step of surrender, a step of trust, or a step of faith. We thank you for loving us so deeply and being so patient with us during the times when it's really hard for us to take those steps. And we thank you for never giving up on us. We love you so much. It's in your name. Amen.